Welcome to the Make a Happy Home podcast. This is Sarah.
And I'm Dustin.
And we're keeping it a little more formal this time since
way too normal.
Dustin decided to do his radio broadcaster voice intro last time.
I'm just trying to spice it up, you know, make a happy home and all. You got to do things different. You know, I took a course in Cornerstone University back in the day, and it was a creativity class. Mm-hmm. And they basically said part of creativity was try to vary routine. So if there's multiple ways to get somewhere, take the different routes, change up so you don't get into set patterns. And I think a lot of human beings love patterns. Well, yeah. You know, last week was just me breaking the pattern.
Right. In the words of Lauryn Hill, I'll get all of all your boxes.
That's right. No
I'll
boxes.
Get out.
There's no boxes here.
I'll get out of all your boxes.
So I was just trying to be creative because that's what, you know, yeah. I think that's what people who try to be creative, they do those things. And I try to be creative sometimes.
Yeah.
As do you. We have our own different creativities. And, yeah, so today's episode, you know, it's really weird calling these things episodes, just so you know. Mm-hmm. It's not very creative. We should come up with a creative name. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about creativity and music. Mm-hmm. And most of you that are listening to this podcast, which happens to be well over 1,000 now. So thank you for all of you who are listening. But for those of you who are consistently listening, you know that I do music for a living. Mm-hmm. And it's a massive, massive part of our lives. And if you're a Sanctus Real fan listening to this, that's probably all you know. But what you don't know is that this lovely lady is sitting across from me is one of the reasons that I even got into Sanctus Real. Mm-hmm. Because we were doing music together. Mm-hmm. And it was lovely melodies and harmonies because she sings wonderfully. And so music has been a massive part of our journey. So we're going to talk a little bit about the journey of music today and, you know, kind of how music has been a part of our lives. Because we have a little different story, I think, than a lot of people, right? Like everybody in our business, and I'm going to let you tell your story here in a second.
Yeah.
But I like most people at the level kind of professional at this point. Most of them have this early drive to be like, I want to do that thing. I want to get on stage. I got the dream, right? To be on stage. And so they fight tooth and nail. They'll do all sorts of stuff. It's like this amazing drive. And a lot of times that's what it takes to succeed in this business. But we didn't really have that.
No, nor was it a pursuit or a thought. Maybe because you enjoyed music, right? There was probably a thought of this could be, it could be
it'd
cool
be
to, yeah, to be in a band, well, but that would be early years.
How many times ask you through our journey, right? Yeah. How many times literally did I ask you, honey, am I good enough? And if I'm not good enough, I don't want to be an American Idol guy.
Just tell me.
Good. That was a recurring theme early on when music kept kind of getting put in our laps.
Yeah.
Not necessarily pursued, although there was a little bit of a dream that the first band I was in, there was like, hey, we're not bad. People like this. Mm-hmm. And then that was the first moment where I was like, well, this would be cool. This would be a cool career. Mm-hmm. But I can't honestly say that I thought it was going to happen. Like I never thought it was going to happen.
Or that it was a pursuit where it was like, this is what we're going to try to be, or that you're going to pursue, you know, as a career, or there was never...
And we got married, man, at 21. I was 21. You were 22.
Turned 22, yeah,
so it's
a couple
hard
days
to,
before.
It's hard to make music your pursuit when you have a baby within a year, right?
Yes, like, we did, yeah.
And you've got responsibilities and you've got to make money. Mm-hmm. And so it never, even that part of it was like, okay, we got to get in the real world and we got to make money and make a living and all that kind of stuff.
That became more of a fun side thing, you know, just like a little side
But always at various times, right? Like things happened. Mm-hmm. And but we'll talk a little bit more about that. First, we were talking earlier about like how music kind of shaped us as kids and our families. And we both grew up in very charismatic churches. If you don't know what charismatic is, it's just the very outward, very vibrant worship where lots of music, usually loud music. Mm-hmm. There might be dancing, there might be, but the worship in a charismatic church is built around music, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and emotion. I think
Controls.
Right. That emotional experience. And so I think, we both kind of came from more of a vibrant, worship background. Music, I think, was definitely it was a big part of my family, especially on my mom's side, very musical family. Everybody could play an instrument, did play an instrument. Family get-togethers were a big sing-along, you know, things like that. I think both of us growing up in the churches that we did, like you sang, you were in choir, you were, right, you were doing special numbers, or, I mean, you just always, there was always opportunities, I guess, to be singing. And I think growing up, I enjoyed that. Like there was, I think I enjoyed music. You enjoyed music. I mean, I think you just, but you just have those opportunities, you know, being in church. And
well, church puts you on a stage. I mean, there's very, I tell you this all the time. Like there's very few places in life where you can get on a stage, mm-hmm. like in front of people. I mean, you want to go to a karaoke bar, right? You mm-hmm. want to go to something. Where else are you going to get opportunities if you're even average to just, hey, I can sing in front of 200 people, right? Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't happen unless you've made a certain level in the like secular world.
Sure.
You won't get those opportunities. So I think it attracts people to a stage, right?
Yeah.
But also on our part, I think both, I was at least, I was a reticent person in my younger years. My older brother was a great singer, mm-hmm. and he was the star. And I was always being compared to him, and I was always coming up short. I was 4 years younger, mm-hmm. And I knew it. And I, to be honest, there was no drama or scars because I thought he was great. And I, at that point in my life, I did not worry about being a great singer. Mm-hmm. Like that was not my thing. And so I supported him mm-hmm. completely. And when someone came to me and said, hey, you've got a good voice, but your brother, man. Yeah, I didn't. It was like, okay.
Yeah.
And he does, right? But because of that, I was always kind of reticent to even want to get up there. I was like, what's the point? Just use Derek, right? And over the years, but I wasn't shy. I could stand in front of people when I was 12 and not care.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening in churches, and you can tell me about your experience, but what ends mm-hmm. up happening is you start to feel trapped a little bit. You start to feel pushed, mm-hmm. like you have to do it. Mm-hmm. And if you know, in my church growing up, and if they listen, don't take this too badly, but mm-hmm. if you show talent, then you're gonna get used, mm-hmm. right? Like if you show that you can do something, mm-hmm. well, there's such, in our church there wasn't a lot of people that could do it, so you end up getting you end up getting put and on a lot of things. And mm-hmm. I enjoyed it, but there was times when it just felt a little over. You know, it wasn't my passion. Mm-hmm. I think I was always surprised how music came easily, but it was never like a passionate thing for me where I was like, oh, and even today, you know this about me. I don't even listen to music that much. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. when I do, what do I listen to, darling? I'm got like cello music on, like symphony and classical and piano and like, or soft. I just love to relax to music, not mm-hmm. to like engage it a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's, I wasn't always that different. I liked mm-hmm. music, but it was more my mood and how it made me feel than it was like getting behind a band or anything mm-hmm. like that mm-hmm. with nuance and caveat because there were bands I liked and mm-hmm. all that. But mm-hmm. But your church, I mean, I know it's funny because I know where your story picks up when we got married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there was a lot before
well,
that.
Well, and growing up, yeah, I mean, we had special, you know, certain services. We had four services a week. Friday night was like youth night. You had like your youth choir, but there's always like numbers. And so for me,
youth choir?
Yeah, we had a youth choir. And so for me, it was like,
wait, were you in both the youth choir and the real choir?
No, you were in the adult choir once you were out of the youth choir.
Okay, so you weren't in both at the same time.
No.
I just wondered.
Okay. I mean, I guess you could have been.
That's a lot of singing.
That 18, 19, you know. Yeah, it was a lot of singing. But anyway, special numbers. And I think growing up, it was always fun. Like my sister and I would sing together with my cousins or our, you know, our close friends. It was like, it was always numbers. So it was always harmonies. I love harmonies. And so that was always something that I really enjoyed, was that part of it, doing special numbers. And we, you know, we would all just get together and practice. And I think, you know, a lot of that came from like, again, growing up my grandma's side, it was like, she's always breaking out in a song. So there's always going to be five part harmony when she starts singing, somebody else is going to pitch in. So just, you know, I think there was that. I really, I enjoyed that part of it. And then, you know, I think as we got older, to kind of start like where we met. I think when I moved close to you and after we were married and we were going to the church that you grew up in, and there was definite like, I don't know that you really had a choice to be in the things.
No, because you married me and I never had a choice.
To be in the choir or whatever. But I think for me, I think just getting, you know, getting a little bit older, it was like I began to just have this more introspective attitude toward music, and then just, you know, what am I singing about? Why am I doing it? And I think that a lot of times in church, there can tend to be a lot of like just the wanting of attention, right? Or people just wanting to do it because they're on a stage or for the wrong reasons. And I think I just, for me, I began to see a lot of that. And I just kind of, I just really wanted to step back. I was starting to feel a lot of just like, why am I singing? What am I? I just really started to ask a lot of questions, right? 22, you know, I just started to really think through a lot of that. And it caused me to sort of put the brakes on any kind of singing. I mean, I remember being like, I don't want to sing with you like on the stage anymore, lead worship. And I remember you were very like, honoring of that. Like you understood where I was and where I was coming from. And so you would still like lead worship. And I just remember kind of taking this backseat. And I think it sent me on a little bit of a, just a trajectory of not really even singing as much. Like I loved to lead worship, but I think it just caused me to kind of take a step back. So I wasn't as involved.
I would always tell people that you just don't like being on stage.
Yeah.
That it's not your thing and you don't like the attention. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's 100% accurate.
No.
I'm not, but okay. not in the sense of like, oh, she needed to be on stage for validation.
Yeah.
I think for you and you, I want you to answer this.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to read your mail or anything, yeah. But I, you know, being married to you, I think you actually are, well, number one, you're great on stage. There's that. But I think a lot of times for you, it was as your purpose of being on stage.
Right. And that's true.
It wasn't like you hated attention or people being on stage looking at you.
Right.
It was more like you had to understand why you were on stage. Mm-hmm. When we did our James and June thing, mm-hmm. you kind of flourished on stage. I mean, mm-hmm. you were brilliant on stage. And mm-hmm. it was, the harder part was we had kids and like mm-hmm. you saw your role mm-hmm. not as a singer being
right.
on stage. But when we did it, you kind of blossomed. You like opened up. It was,
and I think that was because we were doing it together too. It was like the two of us
thing.
And our interaction. So that was just very genuine. It wasn't trying to really do anything, you know. It was really,
well, you know, you and I both know that
time
leading worship in churches, you know, there's multiple sides to it, mm-hmm. right? There is legit leading worship. And I do think our hearts were very much there, but you're also dealing with the politics. And I've always thought that, and being a worship pastor for many years, the most dangerous part of a church is its worship teams, because again, it's the opportunity to be able to be on stages. Mm-hmm. It's the expectation to be good, right? Oh, people aren't going to come to the church unless you have music. So mm-hmm. churches are under this pressure mm-hmm. To bring in, you know, quality people to do all this. And I, like my parents have a church and they haven't had anybody there. And, you know, my mom is always talking about, you know, we got to do this. We got to have live music. And I'm like, no, you don't. Like mm-hmm. you need to do what your church has mm-hmm. and stop trying to be something else, because mm-hmm. that's the stuff that lives, that creates stress in a church, right? Like mm-hmm. you bring in people you don't really know. People that get on stage, this dangerous thing to say, but people get on stage, you have to know them, right? Because mm-hmm. because attention is a dangerous thing
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
for people that are unequipped to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this in churches over and over again. I mean, most of our pain through the years of church work has many times been in worship ministry. mm-hmm. and lead pastors. Mm-hmm. But we won't get into that. Mm-hmm. But that's the truth. So like we were, I think you were very guarded with the worship. You saw people leading worship that you knew.
Yeah.
Many times were like, okay, I don't think this is with the right motive.
Right, right.
That turned you down. That turned mm-hmm. you off a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it mm-hmm. took years. I remember breaking you one time and it was unintentional because I thought this church was kind of forcing you to sing songs that really didn't fit you at all. Mm-hmm. What I was implying was more a knock on the church than you, and saying they want you to sing these things that's not you. That's not mm-hmm. your style. That's not what fits your voice. Mm-hmm. And I know that, I think it's funny because for both of us, this music thing has been incremental. And I mm-hmm. think if it were just up to us, would have died a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. Like yeah. you pulled yourself out. Mm-hmm. I never saw myself as like, I never even understood how good I was.
Yeah, yeah.
I was 24 years old, and one of the churches we were in, when it fell apart, mm-hmm. I was so scared because I thought I had nothing to show if mm-hmm. I wanted to stay in ministry. Uh-huh. And some guy had to be like, well, what are you talking about? You could be a worship pastor. Mm-hmm. And I literally thought, well, I was a big fish in a tiny pond.
Yeah.
Outside of this pond, I'm not good enough. And the mm-hmm. guy looked at me like I was stupid. Uh-huh. But mm-hmm. that's how my brain worked.
Right,
I was
right.
still kind of stuck in this like, well, Derek's great. Uh-huh. And he was. Uh-huh. And I'm fine. I'm adequate. Mm-hmm. And I was okay with that.
Yeah.
I was a college basketball player. Mm-hmm. I had other things. I wasn't mm-hmm. like in this boat of just music. Mm-hmm. And so this growth, this progression of like the way that we were brought and led in music has been this phenomenal weird
yeah.
thing for both of us.
Yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, yeah. Well, so when Arden was born, we can kind of go there. You know, we were at the church that you grew up in and kind of like doing music. You were helping with the worship. I mean, we did sing.
I was in
the
a band.
Choir, and you had this little band.
Well, this,
band
I
on
was
the
just
side.
Telling Sarah
this
right before this that the day that our very first date, the mm-hmm. very first time that we actually spent time together in person. Mm-hmm. was also the day that I met these guys that asked me to sing in a band for them. Mm-hmm. I had never dreamed of being in a band. It had yeah. never even crossed my mind. Uh-huh. I got in that band, and it was the first time that people liked. I wrote the music,
yeah.
and people liked it. And I was yeah. like, what?
I can write music.
I was 21. I was like, I can write music. And people aren't turned off by my singing.
Yeah.
That was the same day we met.
Yeah.
And so like that day, that kind of the first time that I thought, oh, maybe this is possible,
uh-huh.
was the day I met you. Mm-hmm. And then the next time was, go ahead.
Yeah. So we meet, we actually got engaged 3 months after the first time that we ever even met, and we married 10 months later. So very short lived everything, but it was perfect. We kind of just, you know, we knew, mm-hmm. But it was so interesting because, you know, we're singing at church, just like little stuff, you know, leading worship, singing in the choir, you know, whatever. And when Arden was born, so she came exactly a year after we were married. So a year and 2 days, we were in the hospital on our 1 year wedding anniversary. And Dustin, so this band would play these random little things.
Well,
and
it was our first show.
Your first show.
It was our first show, honey. Mm-hmm. We had been planning a show, and mm-hmm. it was our first main one. And I was playing a $80 Yamaha.
Yeah, a little tingy little thing.
It sounded so bad.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And there was a guy there, Jeff. Mm-hmm. I won't say his full name, but if he hears this, he knows. Mm-hmm. He had these two beautiful Taylor guitars. One was like a custom Taylor, mm-hmm. like they were just gorgeous. And I complimented him, those guitars. Mm-hmm. And unbeknownst to me, God was doing weird things. Mm-hmm. I'll let you tell the rest of that story.
Yeah, so you got a call from him, correct?
Yeah, months later.
Months?
Well, like 6 weeks later.
Because Arden was getting ready to mm-hmm. be born. And he had said that he had not been able to sleep and that God had told him that he was to give you this new guitar that he had and that he had fought with
Weird.
God for a long time about it, right? And he said, I need you to come and get this guitar. I can't sleep. Like, you've got to take this. And you were like, I can't do that. Like, I can't take this guitar. And so you you were like, well, let's meet. Well, he went and dropped it off to your brother's house. He needed it out of his house.
He couldn't wait
house.
Long enough. Because I said, well, my wife's pregnant. We can maybe meet this week. And he was like, I can't wait that long. And I was like, okay, well, why don't I just meet you in the next couple of days? Well, then you went into labor.
And your brother and sister-in-law show up at the hospital. And there's this guitar. And on the day that Arden Taylor was born, you got this beautiful guitar that we could never have afforded that season of our life.
Right,
we're looking at it right now. And it's so interesting because, you know, a couple years after that, just our church situation, like we the church kind of fell apart. There was just this need. We were both working like multiple jobs, just trying to figure things out. And the whole leading worship thing kind of came into play, and you had gotten a job as a worship leader in another city. And it was like from that point on, our life just took this shift to being full-time worship leaders or doing music, and just something that we never saw as a career, as anything.
No, we were in youth ministry.
Yeah.
That was like our main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I only got into worship leading outside of the fact that I grew up singing in this church and they would have me come and do this.
Out of necessity.
But the real like worship leading was actually the guys in the first band.
Mm-hmm.
And because I felt like our students needed worship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I really started with the guitar and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Leading worship because out of necessity for a youth group, not because I actually thought it was my future.
Right.
Right. And so crazy.
Yeah.
Like how does,
and there's so many things, obviously it's like, hard to talk about it all in one conversation.
I mean, that moment when a kid tells me that he fought with God, like what a story. Like for me, I remember listening, like I'm not some overly like I see God in everything.
Yes.
Everything. But I don't expect him to interact in everything.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like we're called to look like him. So we interact.
Mm-hmm.
But that moment for me was like, why would God like make this kid's life miserable to get me a guitar? Mm-hmm. Like it was the first time in my life I thought, well, maybe God wants me in music.
Mm-hmm.
And it was honestly these moments like I don't know if I would have, you know, done what I do.
Even applied for a worship leader position. I mean, there's all these little things in our story as a married couple that have just like, just led almost as if God was like, here's the tool. this is what I actually have for you. Right.
Yeah.
Like you have no idea. And then I think it was always like being given the tools, but then having the faith to take the step, right?
Yeah,
to do the next thing. And I think like it was just that following, that leading, writing that melody, right? Like I feel like that's what God was doing like in our life. He was just like weaving all of these beautiful things together and pointing us in this direction of music, unbeknownst to us, because we had so many difficulties financially, just like in the church, you know, world, working in churches. There were so many setbacks and so many things that we just never would have imagined you being in a position now, even singing for Sanctus Real. Like those things were never even like a thought, you know, in our mind of being in the place that we are now. And
I think the cool thing for us, and we're going to do part two of this and finish the story, because there's a couple things I think I want to hit on. But I think the cool part for me is that when I look back at our life, I don't see big choices at our end making the difference. Like I don't see any conscious decision to be like, okay, we're going to do this. In fact, I couldn't even place the moment where I'd be like, that was the moment that changed it all, right?
Yep.
I think for me, it was like all of what I would consider our successes, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there were a lot of successes way before the band and that didn't have anything to do with money, right? Friendships and relationships and a lot of things. 95% of our successes were built around being kind and trying to do what was right. Mm-hmm. And I mean that, like, mm-hmm. There were so many moments in our lives where it was like, we could have broken, like, we, mm-hmm. and it would have been okay. Like, mm-hmm. but it was more like, for us, it was more of like, okay, let's take the chance and see what the next chapter holds. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And after 8 terrible chapters, mm-hmm. you might give up. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like just looking at you and being like, well, let's see what the next chapter holds.
Yeah.
And I think there was always just a glimmer. We saw good in everything.
Yeah.
I saw hard in mm-hmm. a lot of things too. But like, we would always say, okay, this is good. Mm-hmm. And I think what we did was we saw enough good in situations that got us to the next chapter, mm-hmm. got us to the next thing, got mm-hmm. us to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And we're still there. I mean, mm-hmm. there's still challenges and still Absolutely. Stuff. And I think people now look at us and look at me and go, hey, he's in this band. They're do this really well and they have all this mm-hmm. stuff. And the reality is it really does never end, right? Like Mm-mm. you still deal with days of inferiority. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even, you know this, I'm not really an insecure person, mm-hmm. but this job is very up and down, very mm-hmm. emotional. You deal with a lot of criticism. You get a lot of praise. Mm-hmm. And music is like that. Mm-hmm. Music is, there is no greater career that's what have you done for me yeah. lately than music, uh-huh. right? Yeah. You have a hit song and a year later they've forgotten about you.
Yeah.
So it's just this strange thing, but all that to say, like, this musical journey for us, and I know I'm in the band, but we have a musical journey.
Right.
And we're still on it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. to those of you who have not heard my wife sing, we're going to be putting out some old James and June stuff soon.
Under a new name.
You know, there's a lot of cool stuff I think that's coming for us, side yeah. project for us. And
yeah.
But we're going to wrap this one up today. We're going to do part 2 on the next podcast of mm-hmm. kind of the musical journey and a little bit about what music is. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to actually play for you a brand new song mm-hmm. that we have coming out in September sometime. Mm-hmm. And kind of summing up our story. Like yeah. I kind of wrote a song that sums up for us kind of our story over the last 21 years. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're getting old. And so I just, you know, I want, as we wrap this up, you know, I'm always like, we're saying big picture, small,
yeah, yeah.
And this is big picture, right? Mm-hmm. Everything we're talking about is like the big picture of our lives, the story of mm-hmm. The Lolly family, basically mm-hmm. from when we met to now. And mm-hmm. and I think more than anything to say to people that are listening is you can see the big picture when you deal with things as they are, mm-hmm. right? And I think what I mean by that is when we were going through these situations or we were having these even successes, mm-hmm. we were dealing with them in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like we weren't applying them to our value system. Like mm-hmm. this makes me good. Mm-hmm. Even when I started having success in music, I always had to, like, it was still this thing of like, okay, I'm good enough to do this, mm-hmm. right? That's great. Thank you. Thank you, God. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think one of the things that's held us through is that we never applied our value to music mm-hmm. or a thing at all. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. talk about happiness. Our slogan was situations may suck, mm-hmm. but life is good. Like, we were always like, look, we can deal with the moment. Mm-hmm. But in dealing with the moment, know that there's future. Like, that next mm-hmm. chapter's coming. That next chapter's coming. And I think mm-hmm. in terms of music for us, the next chapter was always coming, mm-hmm. which is crazy.
Yeah. Right? Whether we saw it or not.
And we'll tell you right? all about the next chapter in the next
on
episode.
The next episode.
You guys are great.
Thanks for listening.
No, don't. And that was too formal.
Oh, okay.
This is what you do. If you like today's episode... make sure you click whatever buttons on your screen, like, subscribe, do all the things, whatever you're listening to this on. And even if you want to do us the kind favor of sharing it with friends who might, I don't know, maybe it will bless them. Mm-hmm. We would appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And y'all, thank you so much for listening. Now you can do your thing.
Okay. Join us next time.
Wonderful. God bless.